who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, May the 26th, 2018. Frank Marzullo Jr. is the speaker of this service, teaching on four ways the enemy can get in.
I want to thank the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for changing lives. Each minister and each pastor that has participated here has changed the course of your life a little bit. As the Holy Spirit has inspired them, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the worship music and the lyrics that are behind the worship music. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate the prayer team in the morning. I come in, and I sleep a little late. I'm sorry, but I come in and I sit in the back and I watch the ministers minister. I can't tell you how much I appreciate what the Holy Spirit is doing with you. You remember the vision that I gave you the other day about the sower in the seed, basically the hard ground, a hard ground, and that there was a figure chopping away at the hard ground. I believe that was the Holy Spirit chopping away at the hard, hollow ground that is your heart. That the soil of your heart is being softened, and the Lord is opening up so He can pour His Spirit into you. He can pour His anointing into you. He's teaching you new ways of ministry. You're hearing new things. You're getting delivered from demons. And today I'm going to talk to you about the deliverance that I found. Now, my name is Frank Marzullo Jr., if you don't know me. And I've come to you from Central Florida. I'm going to talk to you about the four ways the enemy can get in. Now, I know there's probably more, but I've narrowed it down to four ways where people have called me over the years and they've said, "Help, I need help. I've got this thing going on. I've got that thing going on." Well, you're in the same boat. You got this going on. You got that going on. And it's not God. And the enemy, I give examples here of real life spiritual experiences and freedom found in Jesus. The enemy, it says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, "So that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes," or his devices, depending on the Bible you read. So this is a must read, that we understand the way that the enemy can get in. I understand that we do a lot of deliverance. We do a lot of clipping of the fruit off. But don't you want to know where the root is? Yeah. Don't you want to know how he came in?
Yeah.
That's what I'm interested in. There's only about four or five booklets of this back there in that section. So just to let you know, I don't know, it's limited. So if you miss taking notes, there's four or five copies of this left back there. So, people call me all the time. I've had to put my ministry in hold. Some of you know my wife became ill, and I was her caretaker for a while until she recovered. And I sit by the phone. I do computer work. I write material. I sit by the phone. And I minister to people over the telephone. I minister to many, France, Germany, England. People call me up and I minister to them. African prince was recently And so there's people that call me up that have demonic problems, and they want a solution. They want God to do something. They want relief. And so I get calls almost every day involved in spiritual warfare. So I'm involved every day in some form of spiritual warfare with somebody. A lot of times people are calling me up. Their children are having problems with their children. And they're calling me up. They want help. They have wayward children. They have rebellious children. They have children acting up. And are they husbands are acting up, or their wives are acting up, and they call up and they want help. So I don't judge a person, family, and I don't judge you. I'll never judge you, but I will judge the fruit that's growing on your tree. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll never judge you. And I want you to understand that I'm going to say this several times during the course of my teaching. And I want you to take notes. First of all, I want you to do, write down on your paper. You're going to have paper. Get a paper and pen. Find one. Borrow one. Lean across somebody and say, hey, do you have a paper or do you have a pen? Okay? I want you to write down what it is that they're manifesting. What problems you are manifesting. Masturbation, pornography, alcohol, whatever it is. I want you to write down what it is at the very top of your paper. Pride, ego, whatever it is that you seem to be struggling with, that the Holy Spirit is saying, okay, we're going to deal with this today. We're going to get to the root of it. You've been battling with this for years and years and years, and now we're going to get to the root of it. So write down. Go ahead. Take your time. Write it down. Write down. Gossip, whatever. Write down what it is that you actually need ministry and you need help. Okay? Write it down. And as you're doing that, I'm going to mention the four ways how the enemy got in. Number one, sin. This is common knowledge. Sin. Well, who sinned? Your ancestors' sin, or your own sin, or somebody who sinned against you, such as a word curse, a negative word. Somebody spoke against your ministry. Somebody spoke against your life, created a word curse, and demons were assigned to it. Sin. Sin. Everybody say sin.
Sin.
Okay, it's really simple. When you boil it down to four ways. So sin, we could find a generation curses coming down through Deuteronomy chapter 28. Sin, it's called rebellion against God. Okay? Rebellion against God's word. And when seeing the blind man from birth, Jesus and a couple of his disciples were walking together, and the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents? Common knowledge. They knew that sin is associated with some form of curse, whether it be a health curse or emotional curse or whatever. Sin. So they asked Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents? John 9, 1, verse 2. 1 and 2. So you want to jot that down. That's in the Word of God. Sin is a byproduct of something that happens. There's something that happens, and something of a demonic nature happens to a person. So this man was born blind. It could be that he could have had scabs all over him. It could have been that he had deafness. It could have been that he had something, some form of disease. But in this case, it was blindness. But also in this case, Jesus says it's not either. But this is for the glory of God. It is written. Now, we have, this was allowed to be manifested in this person's life for the glory of God. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's being manifested in your life. I don't want to think that You know, we don't have authority over some things, but when sometimes God says, I'm allowing this to happen for my glory. Do you hear me? I'm allowing this to happen for my glory. Now, this is going to create some doctrinal division here. So you can throw stones at me later. It's not a yo. So another way we can get the enemy can get in is by sin of another. Another speaking curses into us. And so it's generational. Could be generational, coming down through the fathers and the mothers. Could be coming down from your own sin. You open your own door to sin. Or it could be somebody who's actually sinned against you. And I'm getting into great detail on this later. Number two, rejection. This is another way the enemy can get into you, through wounds, hurts, abandonments, things spoken against us or done to us that offend us or abuse us, sexual or physical or emotional abuses that you receive from life. You have received experiences of life. Some of you have been raped. Some of you have been molested. Some of you have had words spoken against you from family members, father, mother. Maybe you felt rejected by teachers. Maybe you felt rejected by people in your life that came into your life. And so rejection is also a feeling of not being accepted by God. Maybe you feel God doesn't accept you. God doesn't want you. I'm no good. I'll never amount to anything. Rejection. Number three. And the third way that the enemy can get in is through the lies that he speaks to you that you believe. The lies that he speaks to you that he believes. I'm going to get into great detail into this a little bit later on. I'm just asking you to jot down the four ways. And number four, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness we've talked about many, 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 many times. But maybe in this time, it's you pick up the knowledge of what is being taught like a kaleidoscope, and you turn it and you say, now I see it. Wow, that's beautiful. And you turn it again and you say, oh, gee, I see it a different way now. And I want you to hear the teaching on unforgiveness today. Now, you've heard it from many people before, but I want you to hear it, because sometimes you hear it from another person's perspective and it opens up your mind to what is actually written. We're going to talk about unforgiveness as according to Matthew chapter 18, verses 34 and 35. You might want to jot that down. So I want to go over those four ways again with you. Sin, rejection, lies that the enemy speaks to you that you believe, and number four, unforgiveness. Now the Bible's very clear. The Bible talks to us about Proverbs 26, verse 2, and it tells us, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. So we find that there must be a reason for sickness and demonic illness. There must be a reason for an emotional, if you will, attachment from the enemy. He attaches ourselves to our emotions, our intellect, our will. There must be a reason. So it could be, once again, sin, rejection, lies that he speaks to us, or unforgiveness. And so there's a process I've followed all my life. As a Miami Beach policeman, I solved crimes. I solved crimes by who, what, where, when, why, and how. Might want to jot that down, because that's how I do deliverance. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. You find out the root of the elements of the crime by who, what, where, when, why, and how. And that's the way I solve looking for the entrance of the enemy into our life. How did he get in? When did he get in? Who did he come in by? Why did he come in? And so you always keep asking the questions, who, what, where, when, why, and how, in deliverance. When you cast the demon out, don't be satisfied with the demon Okay, that called that demon out. How did that demon get in there? Why did he get in? Find out the source of it, the entrance point. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Find out the entrance point. So I used to spend a lot of hours doing deliverance for people and spending a lot of time with them. But now, when someone calls up for ministry in the phone, I have them make out these four lists. Sin, rejection, lies that the enemy speaks to them that they believe, and unforgiveness. And you'll see as we're going along, as we're progressing. Remember, you jot it down at the top of the page what you're manifesting. You jotted those things down. And I found that those who finish this work and spend a lot of time going over that list are the ones that want God's permanent deliverance. Because there's a lot of time that people just want attention. Ouch. Did I say that? Yeah. That's it, you know. So let's look at, let's look at this one by one. Sin. Sometimes you know the person, they know their ancestor's sin. I want you to go back and find out if you can, if your grandparents are still alive, find out what they got involved in. Or maybe you've heard over the family, over the rumors of the family, what they got involved in. Oh, grandma and grandpa. Maybe they were root workers. Maybe they were into astrology. Maybe they were into Freemasons. Maybe, you know, go back into their history and find out. Maybe they were like the one that I was speaking about the other night. There was a woman who had an incubus spirit. Does everybody know what incubus is? Okay. Incubus is a demon that has sex with a woman. Succubus is the same spirit, but it's deemed succubus that has sex with men. But this woman had an incubus spirit. So at the top of her page, basically, was incubus spirit. She's being attacked by an incubus spirit. And, you know, this is, you know, it may sound crazy to you, but this woman couldn't sleep. It wrecked her marriage. They were going to marriage counseling. The demon would push her husband off the bed and finish her off. And this was causing them to go to a divorce court. So we have this woman who had something going on in her life that needed deliverance. I spent about a half an hour with her. I was getting nowhere. And I think I told you the other night, I came to the end of it and I said, Holy Spirit, I need your help. You know, I don't ask the demons. I don't talk to demons because that's divination. I talk to the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth. I said, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Show me. And instantly he downloaded. Boom. Six generations back. Father's side. Witchcraft. And so that's how I called it out. And instantly it came out and she was set free and rejoicing, her and her husband. But see, it came in how? Generational curse. She was manifesting the problem today in a sexual sense that was bothering her, but it happened generations ago. And it was coming down the family bloodline. Everybody say bloodline.
Bloodline.
Everyone has a bloodline. And so there's something that travels down the bloodline. And in this case, it was an incubus spirit that came into her because one of her ancestors was a witch. Was actually a Santero, a male witch. So we have that going on. Another time, I think I spoke to you about this briefly, about I was ministering to a person who had fear. Called me up with fear and anxiety on the telephone. And as I was ministering against the spirit of anxiety and fear, the demon cried out, I have a contract. Remember me telling you this the other night? And so I stopped the ministry, found out that it was, you know, a spiritual problem that came from her, from his ancestors. And they came from Jehovah's Witness. How? How did this get in? How did anxiety and fear get in? Through the generational line of somebody involved in false religion. Through the bloodline, came in through the bloodline. That, of course, was canceled. And by the way, there's a couple of books left on there, Canceling Satan's Contract and His Assignments. And that's how I found out how it came in, through the bloodline. Once again, generational curse, sin. Now, how about if somebody places a sin against you? James 3, verses 6 through 10. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. What? The tongue? Yeah, words. Words. And with it, we curse men, and with it, we have been, we bless God the Father. And we have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So what we have here is we have curses that come out of a person's mouth that can create a course of on a person's life, fire, destruction. Now, I shared with you also the other night about a paper that was in my prayer basket. There was no name on the request, prayer request. It was a slip of paper that said, I'm in deep depression. What's at the top of her list? Depression. I'm in deep depression. My father told me I was no good. I was just married. Shortly after I was married, I was arrested and placed in jail. My husband's in jail too. I'm having another man's child, not my husband's. I committed adultery and got pregnant. My father told me I would burn in hell for these things. I don't know what to do. I'm so depressed. Please pray for me. So we have depression that came into this by somebody's what? Tongue! Set on course. Fire! On her, this woman's world on fire. Because of a word curse. Now, I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. People have spoken against you in judgment. They may have said a negative word about you or your ministry or the direction of your life. And I tell you that when they do that, they set the course of your life on fire. In this case, it was deep depression. In your case, it may be something else. What's at the top of your page? I ask you to write these things down. What are you actually manifesting in life that you need deliverance from? So we have sin, generational, sin, ancestral, our sin. We have somebody else sinning against us with their tongue, setting our on fire the course of our life. Remember, before I get to the next one, I was praying in the church line, and a woman came up with an 8 or 9 year old child, had a peculiar hiccup. Would you please pray for my hiccup, my son's hiccup? I've taken him to the doctors. The doctors don't know what to do. They don't know how to go about this. Remember, sickness and disease and peculiar things that are demonic happen because of sin. So I prayed for her child. He had a peculiar, it was like a burp hiccup at the same time. I can't explain it. It was very unusual. But as I started to pray for the child, I got a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit, and the word was witchcraft. Now, I'm looking at this 8-year-old child, and I'm thinking he's probably not a witch or a warlock or anything of that nature. But I got the word witchcraft. And I started to lay hands on him and command the spirit of witchcraft out in the name of Jesus. As soon as I spoke the word witchcraft, come out in the name of Jesus Christ, the mother hits the floor and starts withering like a snake. The child hits the floor and starts withering like a snake, screaming. They had to roll the chairs back because they are rolling around withering like a snake. And this went on for some time until the demons were cast out. And I found that after the end of it all, I found out that this woman's husband was having an affair with a witch, and she placed death curses on the woman and the child so that she could have her husband. Word curse, the tongue. Okay? Very powerful, the tongue. And so this is one of the ways that the enemy gets in. Okay, so that's number one, sin. Number two, rejection. Let's go down and get into a little bit more of rejection here. The enemy can get into a person's, through times of rejection, when someone calls for ministry, I have them write down and have them try to remember everything that people rejected them. Oh yeah, Jane rejected me in the third grade. Oh yeah, this so-and-so, my mother rejected me when I was going to play basketball and they wouldn't let me. And you write down rejection, rejection, rejection. You write down all the things of rejection. I want you to write down all on that paper, I want you to write down all the things of rejection. All the people that rejected you. When they wounded you, when they hurt you, when they mistreated you, when they abandoned you, when they abused you. Yeah, some of you have been divorced. Abandonment, abuse, whatever may have happened during the course of your life, write down that rejection. This is the other way where the enemy can get into your life. And then you call up for ministry, or then you seek out a deliverance ministry because there's something going on, manifesting in your life, and you want that to stop. Well, it came in somewhere. Did it come in through rejection? That's the question. Who did it come in by? When? How? Why? Write it out. Rejection. Maybe they were going to be aborted. My wife had a very serious problem. She had rejection so bad when I first met her because her mother told her that she was going to be aborted, but because she had her menstrual cycle every month, she wasn't aborted. So about 6 months later, she found out she was pregnant with Jill. My wife was so full of rejection from being told that. First of all, who would tell their child that? Only to hurt them. So you may have found out that you weren't planned, you weren't wanted, you were a problem to the marriage of your parents. Rejection. Write it down. Maybe figures of authority rejected you. Teachers. Policemen. Maybe bosses. Maybe you don't feel loved and accepted by God. Rejected. That's right. Rejection could also come in through another curse too. Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 2. Called the bastard child or the bastard curse. They're shunned from the generation of the church for 10 generations. And so some people feel unloved and unwelcome in church. They feel unwelcome by God. They feel like they're always condemned. Rejection. Rejection. So we see that joy can fill a person's heart. Look at Elizabeth and Mary. Mary goes to visit her aunt Elizabeth, who's pregnant with the apostle, with the John the Baptist. And the cousin of Jesus. And as soon as Mary spoke, the baby inside of Elizabeth leaped with joy. And a child can receive joy in the womb. And in the same sense, in the same token, a child can receive rejection in the womb if the child hears outside the womb, "I never want this child. That's not my child." And there could be rejection in there. So write down possible rejection from the womb. Rejection could happen later on in life when people are telling you, you're not handsome enough. You're not pretty enough. You look in the mirror and you say, self-rejection. You look in the mirror and you say, I'm not a beauty queen. I'm not as pretty as my sister. Self-rejection. Or maybe you hear something that somebody says to you, you're a loser. You'll never amount to anything. Your brother's better than you. And I'll get to that in a second here. Who, what, where, when, why, and how? How? Find out. So, find out the spirit that produced rejection in you, where it came from. Sometimes when calling out evil spirits, you get a snapshot in your mind. As the minister is ministering to you and you hear the spirit being called out, you get a snapshot in your mind and the Holy Spirit's revealing the source of the entrance. Oh yeah, that's when Billy slapped me when I was 8 years old. And then you know the understanding. You understand how this demon came in. Number three, the lies that the enemy speaks to you that you believe. Here's an interesting one. The woman wrote me and told me that she could not read about Jesus or the Bible. And when she did, she would get vertigo and get dizzy. So she refused to read the Bible or any material that spoke about Jesus. She stated she was a Christian and wanted help. Pretty tough one, huh? How are you going to minister without saying the name Jesus? So I explained to her that the enemy was making her believe the lie so that the vertigo would be real to her. And she was experiencing vertigo and dizziness. Literally, she was experiencing that. And she had to replace the lie with the truth. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So you see, if you think a certain way about anything, that's the way it'll be for you. If you were believing the lie for the way the healing for and deliverance was to take place, you have to replace the lie. You have to replace the lie with the truth. Jesus is truth. Amen? So we want to replace that lie. The devil's been speaking to you lies, and you have to replace that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows it well. That's what the Word says. So when the devil's saying you're ugly, you're not going to amount to anything, you're no good, you have to say, hey, wait a second. The Word says, and the truth is, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the way and the truth. The lie was, on this particular lady here, that she could not read God's Word without getting vertigo. The truth was, is that she could do all things through Christ who strengthens her. And that's what I told her. I said, you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's what the Word says. The lie says, you can't. The truth says, I can. Amen? And so, you replace the lies of the devil. By the way, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, that we're in a spiritual war. Watch this now. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So the war is in between your ears. The war is in between your ears. It's in your mind. And the Bible says that this is a spiritual warfare that's going on. This banner over here says it all. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. So the lies that the enemy has made that we believe are strongholds in our mind. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is another, and you're saying, I'm manifesting. What are you manifesting? At the top of my list, I have dot, 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 dot. How did that get there? I believed the lie. That could be that you believe the lie. And that's what you're having problems with today. You're manifesting something that the devil put into your mind that needs to be torn down and pulled down. And it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Well, you see, a lot of us don't go that route. We don't go that far. We don't say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over my mind. I take authority over that thought. I take authority over that lie. I bind the power of that lie that the enemy has placed on my mind that I believe. And I command it out of my mind in the name of Jesus. And that's what you need to do. You need to start learning how to do spiritual warfare in your own brain.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
I got one amen. Okay. The rest of you guys just send me $1,000. One time, a woman came to me because she had fear. This is going to be interesting. She had fear because she overheard her mother and father speaking about how they loved her brother more than her. And she became very fearful. And all of a sudden, she developed something fearful. And the devil placed rules in her head to follow to save her father and her mother from destruction, from the lake of fire. Here are the rules. The lake of fire. Every time that you hear lake, have a fit. And so she would. The rule was, don't look at a word that says lake. Don't hear the word lake because it has to do with the lake of fire. Your parents are going to go into punishment into that. So punch yourself. And she did. And she punched herself hard in the face and kept on punching herself. I mean, hard. And she'd hide her eyes when going into the grocery store so she couldn't see Land of Lake Butter. Anything that had the word lake in it, then that word turned into other words, snake, Jake, anything that sounded like a fake, anything that sounded like a lake. She was listening to the rules of the devil. The devil gave her rules to follow. These were the lies of the enemy. In OCD, you will find that the devil gives a person rules. Wash your hands, you're unclean. Arrange your garbage in your garbage can because it's messy in there. So they arrange all the cans and everything in the garbage can. So we find that this is called OCD. And every time that she heard the word lake, snake, jake, bait, anything like that, she would roll up in the ball and scream for hours and punching herself. And so this is what she came. And if she at any time during the course of this, whatever she was going through, she touched something, such as a computer, such as a telephone, such as money, such as jewelry. Everything had to be thrown out. She could never touch it again because of the rules of the enemy. The rules of the enemy. It became defiled. Now, this came to her because she listened to the lie of the enemy and believed it. That's the far extreme, right? You, on the other hand, you've been listening to the lies of the enemy. And you've been listening to him and what he said to you. Don't cross that line. Don't close the door behind you every time you leave. Do this, do that. And so you've been listening to the lies of the enemy and you believe it. I don't think she ever got set free. I ministered to her for 8 months. I realized that sometimes people just want the attention. And that's what she wanted. She was rejected by her father and mother by words. And she was rejected. And so this scenario, this whole thing she developed, she wanted to be loved and accepted and wanted the attention of her father and mother. Never got it. So at John chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus sees a man at the pool of Bethesda who was really in need of healing, really needed it. And he asked him a peculiar question. Do you want to be made well? Some people don't want to be made well. They come to deliverance and let the demons have a show so that they can get the attention. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
That's not for you today. For you today, you are to get to the source of the problem. Find out where it came in at and get rid of it once and forever, once and for all. One time I was praying for a lady that came up to in her prayer line. She had a prayer collar on. And you know what a prayer collar, not a prayer collar, a collar from a car accident. Everybody know what that is? So I reached up to pray for her. And she says, no, 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 pray for my insurance case. Bang, wrong motive. Alright, so you have to understand that some people don't want to be healed. They want to believe the lie of the devil. They want to go down the route of the devil and to their own destruction. Number four, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. We're going to get into, after I do this, we're going to maybe a little bit more behind it, and then we'll get into deliverance. 12. We eat at 12, right?
Yeah.
Got to be on time for lunch. All right, so unforgiveness. You've heard this taught many, many, many times, but like I said, it's like a kaleidoscope. You pick it up and you listen to the teacher teach, and sometimes he turns it a different way, and you go, ah, that's a beautiful thing. I see that now. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is the fourth way I found out. Remember, what's at the top of your list, because we're going to take care of that, these four ways. What are your problems? Remember that. As I've been speaking to you, if you stopped writing, keep on writing. What's at the top of your list there? What's going on? What are you manifesting? So let me continue on. The fourth way I found that the demons could enter in is this way. Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 18, verse 21, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say up to you seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, very, I'm going to tear this apart as I read it, but at first I'm going to read it through. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So he began to settle accounts. One was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's like millions of bucks. This guy owed his master, the king, a lot of money. But he was not able to pay his master. And the master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Everybody say, forgave.
Forgave.
So here we owe a great debt. And our Master has forgiven us our great debt. He forgave us. But that servant went out, verse 28, and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a few bucks. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me and I'll pay you all." But he would not. And he went and threw him into prison till he should pay that debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that he had done. Then his master, after he had called him, and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. Everybody say torturers. Until he should pay all that was due him. So forgiveness and being sent to the torturers are in the same verse. Now, the torturers are demons. At the top of your list, you're showing the manifestation of demons that are afflicting you. At the top of your page that I ask you to write out, the things that you actually need deliverance for. And so we find that sometimes being sent to the torturers, verse 35, watch this now. "So my heavenly Father also would do to you if each of you does not forgive from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespass." So we have being sent to the torturers or the tormentors, depending on the Bible version, from the Father. So the Father sends the ones that are unforgiving to the torturers or the tormentors or the demons, and you're having problems right now with demons, because of some form of unforgiveness towards your brother or your sister or somebody that wronged you and did you harm. Now, Jesus responds back, how many times? 70 times 7. This is like a metaphor. 70 meaning completion of weeks according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. And 7 is a metaphor also too. It's listed in the Bible 114 times in the Bible, the number 7 meaning complete. So complete until completion is the way Jesus tells you how many times you need to forgive. What? Complete until completion. What does that mean? That means every time that you think of that person that harmed you, that mistreated you, that did you wrong, that did you dirty, you are to forgive them. If you start dwelling on the wound or the hurt or what they said, then you have not really forgiven them from your heart. You're trying to work out that in your own mind. The way I see it is Jesus says complete until completion. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in order to be released from the tormentors. Everyone, listen, look at my feet. Yeah, I'm flat-footed. You want to know why? So many people stepped onto my toes. So many people have stepped all over my feet. But you know what? That can hurt. And we can form resentment and bitterness in our heart. That can hurt. So how many times? I've got a list, by the way. I have a list on the side of my desk. I have a list of about 18 people that have wounded me, offended me, afflicted me, mistreated me, misused me. And I pray for them every day until such time as when I think of them, I don't think of that wound or the hurt anymore. You see, you're driving in the car, you're all by yourself, and you're with your thoughts, and you're thinking of that person and that wound, that hurt, the thing that they said and they did. And you're thinking of ways to get even, ways to get back at them, or ways to to expose them, or way. This is called unforgiveness. And how many times are you supposed to give? Forgive? 70 times 7. What does that mean? Complete to completion. So I got this list on the side of my desk. And the list, and I pray for these people until it's complete. Of course, then I add new ones. You may be on there. So here, I do this until my heart is soft towards that person or that incident. And that way, I'm released from tormentors. And by the way, who sends you to the tormentors?
The Lord.
The Father. So we could be praying in the name of Jesus Christ for the spirit of unforgiveness. We could be praying against the top of the list that you have there, against the demons that are attached to you, that are afflicting you, and we're not going to override the Father, are we? And, oh, well, it's in the name of Jesus. Sorry, babe, wrong answer. It's not going to work until you have forgiven. You have a word, Father?
No, I'm just saying, it has to be his agreement.
Amen.
I agree with the Father if anything's going to change.
Okay. So it has to be the Father. The Father releases you. And he releases you from that. But I said the name Jesus. It's like the magic beanstalk. It doesn't work if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I'm teaching you something. Look it up. Don't take my word. So we have sin, we have rejection, we have the lies the enemy speaks to us, and we have unforgiveness. So the devil wants to torment us. Here it is, some spirits that are attached to us that we need to understand. A lot of times we see people that are depressed. They're taking medication for it. They've gone to the doctors. They're taking depression because of heaviness, because they're depressed and have full of anxiety and heaviness. This is a spirit. It's an evil spirit. It's called the spirit of heaviness, Isaiah 61, verse 3. The spirit of heaviness. And I've come to understand that the spirit of heaviness is really simply the way to combat that is, well, yeah, you can call it out in the name of Jesus, but put on praise music and worship. Here's why. Isaiah 61, verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You see, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Whenever I see somebody lonely, downcast, heavy-hearted, full of anxiety, I say, it's time to worship. It's time to worship. And I know that worship music is different in different places where you go to worship. In some churches I walk into, I think I'm in a disco lounge. I'm not into a church with worship. This is why I so appreciated this week's worship. Mickey, he's gone. Thank him so much. The words have the anointing. The words have the anointing. Worship is a different type of music. It's a different type of uplifting. So put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So heaviness, depression, fear are evil spirits. And many doctors try to prescribe medication for it. It's an evil spirit. That's what it is. It's an evil spirit.
Yeah.
Heaviness and depression. Sometimes you can get depression and heaviness and fear from medication itself. It can form, it can give you a spirit of fear. So I want you to hear that in the Holy Spirit. I love doctors. I love medicine. It saved my life. I've had a couple operations that saved my life. I take medication to save my life. But some medications will actually bring fear on and heaviness on. So you have to be smart, have to be clever. Clever as a serpent, as gentle as a dove. We call deliverance, we're going to get into deliverance now, amen? We call deliverance the children's bread because Jesus called it the children's bread. Matthew 15:22. My daughter is severely vexed with a demon. And Jesus says, this is the children's bread. It doesn't belong to the Canaanites, dogs. He called them dogs. Ouch. But eventually she got set free. And by the way, that's something for you to understand in intercessory deliverance. The person who needed deliverance wasn't even there. And she was a heathen. And she needed deliverance. So when someone pick up the phone, start praying for people. If the person is, you don't have to have the person in front of you to pray for healing or deliverance. You remember the centurion's servant too. The person was not in front of Jesus. Amen? The demon was not in front of Jesus on this Canaanite woman. And he prayed, and the woman's child got set free. And that's what I do too. I pray for people over the phone. I pray for people in different countries. I pray for them over the telephone. They're not with me. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the evil spirit to leave, and it does. It leaves their child. It leaves their husband. It leaves their wife, their daughter. It does. Now, the children's bread. Praise God. It is the children's bread. Would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
There has been sin in my bloodline. That came in through generations past. I ask that you cleanse my bloodline and forgive me my sin. Wash it clean with your precious blood. Lord, I've been rejected. I ask that you heal me. My broken heart. My wounded spirit. Lord, I believe lies. They weren't true. Forgive me. Lord, I've held grudges in my heart towards people who have wounded me and hurt me. Please forgive me. Now, the Bible's very clear. It says in 1 John 1:9 that if you confess your sin, He, God, is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That just happened. You ask God, He cleansed you. You ask God to cleanse your bloodline, He did. Amen?
Amen.
Put your hand over your belly button. Everybody's got a belly button. Come on. I break the curses that came into me through my umbilical cord. Generations past. Be severed. In the name of Jesus Christ. All curses. All demons assigned to those curses. Leave me now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break the curses that came from others who spoke a negative word against me. Every demon assigned to those curses, leave me in the name of Jesus Christ. I command out of me all the lies of the enemy that I believe. I command the demons assigned to those lies to leave me in the name of Jesus. I command out of me all bitterness, wrath, anger, unforgiveness,
to lead me,
in
the name of Jesus,
to
anyone who has ever wounded me, hurt me, mistreated me. I command the devils that were assigned to me to leave me now, in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Go! In Jesus' name. Out! In Jesus' name. Get out! Go! Get out! Unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, get out! Wrath! Out! Out! In Jesus' name. Arguments, jealousy. Go in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. I want you to take a look at the top of your list and say, I command that of me. Now name it. Out of me in the name of Jesus. You, those demons that came into me, these four ways, come out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. The devil didn't see that one coming, did he? Thank you, Lord. I command all sickness, infirmity, disease, blindness, deafness, lameness, to leave me in the name of Jesus. All emotional and physical ailments to come out of me in the name of Jesus. Depression, heaviness, death wish, suicide, morbidity, darkness, bipolar, all spirits of mania and madness, come out of me in the name of Jesus. All mental disorders, leave. Multiple personalities, leave in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go in Jesus' name. Get out. Go in Jesus' name. I command out of me all witchcraft,
all
spirits of attention,
hyperactivity,
Tourette's syndrome, obsessive compulsive behaviors, cluttered homes, cluttered cars. Oh, that's mine. Come out of me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. Go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of condemnation, guilt, shame, slothfulness, daydreaming, apathy, inactivity, blank mindedness, self-hatred, brain damage, epilepsy, tumors, blood clots, migraine headaches, diarrhea, irritable bowel syndrome, high blood pressure, chronic fatigue syndrome. I command it to leave me. All sickness, all disease, come out of me. Take a deep breath. Go! It doesn't matter which way it came in, whether it came in through sin, rejection, lies, doesn't matter. Unforgiveness, doesn't matter. Come out in Jesus' name. I love listening to freedom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So many prophetic words have been spoken in this conference of how God loves us and how He cares for us and how He really is for us and not against us. And I come against the spirit that makes you feel unloved and unwanted. I come against that evil spirit that lies to you, that makes you feel rejected and self-rejected and rejected by God. I command that evil spirit of low self-esteem, inferiority, guilt, self-hatred, self-bitterness, self-centeredness,
I command it to come out of you in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out.
Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Leave. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We ask you, Father God, to come into those areas. Lord Jesus, come into those areas. Holy Spirit, come into those areas that the demons were ruling and reigning. We give these areas to you, O God. We give these areas to you to rule and reign in. No longer to be tossed around. No longer to be taken advantage of by the devil's schemes. We take you into us, Lord Jesus. We take you into us, Holy Spirit, into these areas to rule and reign from this day forward. Thank you, Father God. Now, everybody say amen to that?
Amen.
This means that it's now your responsibility.
There you go.
Oh, you're going to like this. This means that the next time that the enemy tries to get back in and make you feel the same way, listen, you just got deliverance from these things. And he makes you feel that, you know, you're the same way, this is not change. Oh yeah, he peers back in, he goes, oh yeah, nothing's really changed here. Come on, seven more of us, let's get in there. Listen, I want to tell you something, it's your responsibility. I deliver, it's your responsibility to keep the deliverance. Okay, so don't let the enemy back in. When the enemy tries to get in, don't entertain him to come in. But don't think of thoughts, these thoughts anymore. Don't think these thoughts about yourself anymore. That's right, stomp. Put your foot down. Let me hear that stomp again. That's the end of it. And don't let him back in. Brother Andy, anything?
Who the sun sets free is free indeed.
Yeah. That's right. Lunch?
Yes.
He's paying.
Come one, come all.
And by the way, there's only a couple of these books left, and you're welcome to it. They're at the book table there or at the center of that book thing there. The book is called Four Ways the Enemy Can Get In. All right, Father, we just thank you for our food that we're about to receive. We ask that you bless it, make it nourishing for our bodies. We ask that you cleanse it, O God, from all impurities and make it healthy, nourishing for us. Thank you, Father God, for the food, for the hands that prepared it. I ask that you bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.